the final section, part 15, which brings us back to the beginning. Dinei Chodesh Nisan. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, Sholim v'Hilchos Pesach, Chodem v'Pesach Shloshim Yom. Supposed to learn the Halachos of Pesach 30 days before the Chag. And the Rama adds, U'minhag liknos chitim l'chalkan lanim l'tzorech Pesach. It's a minhag to buy wheat and to give it out to the anim for Pesach. So he says, what's the Rama says it with a vav. And it's a minhag, kilu, it's connected. It was once learning, and the other thing is giving tzedakah. You know, what's the connection? So he says, so Maisa with himself says, when the Germans conquered Poland, so on the one hand, the one side was Poland was the Germans, the other side was the Russians, and they were so the people tried to, you know, try to find a safe place. So he found his way to Vilna, where a lot of Yeshiva Bachurim went, because that was his Torah center. And he really very much wanted to go into Rav Chaim Moser, you know, to see him, Rav of Europe. So there was somebody who was very close to him, Rav Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky, that's all. And he knew him, so he said, I'll arrange a you know, meeting for you. Good. So he says, come tomorrow, such a time, and I'll get you into Rav Chaim Moser. So he said, I was so, you know, such excited, and I couldn't sleep all night. He says, out of the excitement. And I was also thinking, no, well, I'm sure, what is he going to ask me? Ask me kashas and learning when I'm learning and this. So whole night I was, you know, chazering, I was learning Yuvamas about Chamesh Esrei and Nashim, that Potras Chatzarosehem and Tzarotzarosehem, etc. And I was going over it, I was all nervous, you know. So I said, sure, he's going to first ask me, what is Jumachadish? Second question is going to be, and what else is Jumachadish? And the third question is going to be, what else is Jumachadish? So I had to be prepared. So I finally, next day came, I went in, and I saw there was like 30 people waiting in line to go into Rav Chaim Moser. So then Rav Mishkovsky comes, puts his cigs out, and he says, okay, you can come in. So, okay, it's very exciting. And also I get in there. And he says, the three questions which I thought he was going to ask me were not the three questions he asked me. So the first question he asked me was, he says, when did you last time get a letter from your parents? So I told him, it's been like half a year since, because I was on the German side, they were on the Russian side, we lost connection. It's been like half a year. His second question was, do you have a blanket? Says we used to sleep on the benches or whatever, that we had a place, you know, sleep on the benches, but a blanket, you know, it's freezing cold. He says, do you have a blanket? So I told him, yeah, I have. He said, okay, good. Third question was, can I see your shoes? So he says, I don't know if you can exactly call them shoes, or, you know, these shmatas that were on my feet. He said, we used to say in Mavardacha about our shoes, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, but kulam pachim as pihem. So he looked at my shoes, he took out some money, he says, here, buy yourself a pair of shoes. He gave me the money, and he says, and this is, this is your house, it's open 24 hours a day, whenever you want, come, please. So he says, I was so like overcome with emotion. He says, you know, finally, you know, somebody that, you know, cares about me, whatever, amongst the tsaras. And then, so he said, you know, you see, I thought he was going to ask me questions about the tsaras, tsaraseim. He says, he didn't. He asked me about my tsaras. You know, that's a gadol ador, right? What do you care? Okay, learning's important, but more important is this fellow yid. How you, you know, you know, do you have a blanket, your shoes? That's what he cared about. So maybe that's what he says the Rama is being Ramas to. So yeah, Pesach, Pesach, that's all very nice, you have to learn. But before this, you have to look at the Yanim, see, make sure they have what to eat. And that's number one. It says that Sholim V'Dorshim, he says the Sholim V'Dorshim, what you do with your mouth. And to give maus chitim is something you do before with your hand. So he says that I heard they used to say that it used to be that people used to kiss the Sefer Torah with their mouth, and they used to give tzedakah with their hand. So nowadays things have changed. Now people touch the Sefer Torah, they kiss the Sefer Torah with their hand, and they give tzedakah with their mouth. I mean, they're going to give, but they don't end up giving too much. Okay, if I turn Kimcha de Pischa, he says that he was by a gvir in Antwerp, a very fine, you know, gvir. And he, when I came in, he said to me, Rabbi Yaakov, kamani chayav lecha? How much am I chayav to you? You know, chayav, that's how he called it. You know, he wanted to give staka. So he said, how much am I chayav to you, Rabbi Yaakov? So Rabbi Yaakov answered back. He says, it's not a chov. You're not chayav me anything. It's a pikado. Right? So you're just returning a deposit. Like the Zohar Chaim on the Pasukim Kesef Talveh Asami, and when a person has money, not all of it is his, a certain portion of it belongs to the Anim. Hashem just gives it to the Ashi to hold on for him. And therefore, that's how you have to look at it. When he's giving stock, he's really giving what belongs to the Ani. It's like a deposit for him he's giving. So he says, so you're not Chayiv any, you're just giving me the Pikadon that you have. So he answered back, he says, yeah, okay, maybe it's a Pikadon, but since the time that it's been by me, a lot of profit has developed from it, or interest, or whatever. So it became a chov. So now I have a chov. I have more money to give you. So how much have you? So that's he says. Rebbe Osai ki yesh keilu gvirim b'neinu. He says there are gvirim. So on the other side, he was once. He said he went to a house of a rich person. He said you've never seen a house like this, huge, like mansion, and unbelievable. He said you've never seen a place like it. When I asked the guy for some money, what did he say? Oh, times are tough. He looked at it around. He's unbelievable. He said, the guy says times are tough. He says maybe another time, come another different time, maybe I'll have some money. But I can't. Times are tough. So he says, okay, I wasn't mizaki in the midst of tzedakah. Maybe I can tell you a word. So the guy says, please, tell me a bar. He says, okay. He says, the Gemara says that the Chachmei Yisrael came to David the Melech, and they said, Amcha Yisrael, tzrichim parnasa. He said, we got a problem, no parnasa, what should we do? So David said, answer, l'chu pishtu yadechem begdud. So in other words, let's go wage war. Wage war, we'll conquer enemies, get some booty, whatever. We need parnasa, fine, so let's wage a war. That's the Gemara. He says, it's hard to understand. He says, what was that supposed to mean? What kind of a solution is wage war? You know, first of all, there's war, there's casualties. Two, you don't know you're going to win. What, for sure you're going to win the war? Not necessarily. And who knows, you're going to bring back booty. What kind of, that's a solution, wage a war, if you need parnasa. So he says, no, that's not the pshat. He says, I'll tell you. He says, Rabbi Mitzubin told me the following. He says, the Chachmei Yisrael, when they came to David, they need parnasa. What does that mean? Means that the people learning, right, they needed money. And the rich people are saying, times are tough. Right? We need parnasa. We can't. We'd like to help the people learning, but what can we do? Times are tough. So what did David Melech say? He says, okay, I got the solution. Let's tell everybody we're going to war. What will that do? So then when you go to war, so there's an announcement. The Kohen announces, me, who is the person that built the house and was not Mechanache, go back home. Right? So so you're going to see that, house, they run back home. And who made a kerem, planted a kerem, and didn't Mechal or whatever. Oh, yeah, so they're going to go. They're all running to their possessions. Say, you said you have no money. So you have nothing. They get running back your house for your care. That's fine. You have money. That was the W. Mills is doing to show them that you don't have money. And when it comes to the war, you're very quickly to run back to your house and your care. So place you have. Okay, I think the guy gave money after that. Okay, so the Gemara in Psachim and Beis, I recall they asked the Chaznish, so the Gemara says that tells the story of Rav Masna, that he was darshaning, gave a shiur in a place called Paponia. and he was teaching him Hilchos Pesach, and he says that you have to knead the dough when you're making the matzahs with Maim Shalanu. Lanu means to rest, slept overnight. It means you have to, the water has to be water that is, was overnight, so it became cold overnight, because you don't want to use warm water, that can help, it can encourage the become chametz, whatever. You're supposed to use cold water, Maim Shalanu, Russian Lan. So the people there, what did they do? They took their, says the Gemara, their vessels, and they lined up at Rav Masna's house the next morning. It says, give us your water. So why? Because Maim Shalanu, they thought he meant our water. Right? Maim Shalanu, you know, you have to use our water for making your matzah. So they came with their kale. He says, oh, you're welcome. Okay, so can we have some of your water? He said, Maim Shalanu. Yeah. So, okay, that's the Gemara. And he told him, no, that's not what I meant. No, my wine. I don't say my art. What I meant, mine. Okay, fine. So he says, but why does the Gemara tell us this story, which makes these people of Paponia look like a bunch of idiots? You know, like, you know, it's not so covetic for them, you know. So the Chazon Ish answered, he says, no, he says, you don't understand. It's lehefech. It shows the greatness of these people that they didn't ask any questions. And the Rav says, it didn't make sense to them. Why do we need the rabbi's water to make matzah? But he said, as we said, you know, they understood it. Shalanu, them, our water. Okay, and no question, they lined up with their vessels. So you see the tzmimistik, how it's supposed to be to listen to your rav. Right? No questions asked. He said we see the same thing in Gemara says in Sota with Amram. Right, that after the Gzeiras of Paro, so Amram got up and he said, you know, what are we having children for nothing? They're being killed. So he decided to get up. It says he got up and divorced his wife. So what does the Gemara say? Then it says, then Amdu Kulam Megeshuvet Neshotayim. So Amram got out the door. He was divorced his wife. And he said, oh, so everybody divorced his wife. And then Miriam came and says, Abba, your Gzeira is worse than Pharaoh, etc. He's only the boys, or boys and girls, whatever. So what did he do? He got up and he married his wife again. And then everybody married their wives again. So you see the same thing over here, right? Listening, what's the good? He didn't even have to say anything. The God of the door, divorce, we're divorcing our wife. I quiet, well, no question. God of the door does. They even tell us to do it, they follow that, right? That's what he says, that. And then married again, they married again. Exactly what the God says. And we see the Klal Yisrael themselves, and when they left Mitzrayim, finally, you know, they got to Mitzrayim, they left, went to the desert, and all of a sudden Moshe tells them, okay, we're going back. We're going back towards Mitzrayim, right? So, what did they do? They went back. So Rashi says, Ve'yasu kein lagit shivcham sheshamu l'chol Moshe. Tells us the greatness of Klal Yisrael. They did what Moshe said. They're running out. We're going to go toward. How can we go towards Mitzrayim? There are pursuers. No, Rashi said. No, we don't understand it, but he says we do. That's called the Munas Chacham. Let's be able to the chumras of Pesach. The Isser Chametz, as we know, is very chamur. It's Isser Bekolshu, and as for that, we see there's all kinds of chumras that people have on Pesach, right? Different minhagim of chumras, etc. So he brings the Gemara we said also before. He has a little different types to it. The Gemara in Chulin with Mar Ukba again, right? That he said that I'm like vinegar, my father's like wine, that my father waits 24 hours after eating meat before he eats milk, and I just wait from Suda to Suda. So then he asks the same question, except he gives a little different mashal to answer this time. And the question we asked before is that everybody asks, so if your father, you know, you look at your father, wow, he was so great that he waited 20 minutes, such a mile, so why don't you just do it? You know, what's so hard? It's not something that you can't do. You wait 24 hours. You had such a craving for cheese, you know, you can't control yourself. You know, so wait 24 hours. You think it's a mile? Why was he just, I only wait for two, not only far as 24 hours. If it's a mile, so just do it. So he answered with the following mashal. He says there was... A ani that He was doing better than the other Aniyim in town. Well, the Aniyim were, he was collecting, but he did better than the rest. He was doing okay. So his wife asked him one, how come you're doing better than everybody? He says, it's very simple, the Aniyim, they go knocking on doors, but they're knocking on the doors of people themselves don't have much money. So how much are they going to get? A little bit here, a little bit there. But I knock on the door of the people with means, the more wealthy people, and therefore I make more money, and plus I don't have to work so hard, I don't have to go so many houses. So she said to him, but how do you know? How are you supposed to know who has money, who doesn't? So he says, very simple. I look at the mezuzah. I see this old, the bitum is the mezuzah. The case is all like rusty, old piece of metal, whatever. I know the people in there are poor, or whatever. If I see a nice, fancy mezuzah case, I know the people in there are means, and that's where I go. So she says, "Oh wow, interesting." Okay, so what happened? One day he goes out, on his day of collecting, and his wife takes a little money they had saved up, their savings. She goes to the store. She buys some fancy mezuzah cases. Silver, fancy thing. She puts it up on and changes their mezuzah cases and puts them up, So he comes home after a hard day's work and about to kiss the mezuzah. And he goes, what's this? Beautiful silver, carved mezuzah case. What's going on over here? So he comes in and asks his wife, what's this? So she says, well, didn't you say yourself that the fancy mezuzah case, it's a shearing mitzvah, it's a segula for a shearers, So she says, no, you don't understand. He says, it's shivish, simen besiba, right? It's only a mezuzah case, it's a siman, it's a sign that the person inside is rich. It's not a siba, it doesn't make you rich. You don't put a fancy mezuzah and makes you rich. If the person is rich already, and he puts a mezuzah, that's a sign that the person inside is rich. But a person is poor, and he puts a fancy mezuzah case on his, or it's such a joke, right? It's bring wealth. So too, Nimshel, is Marukbo was saying, says, when my father waits 24 hours, that's not what you do to become, that's a sign of his greatness. Right, of course, it's like putting a poor person putting a fancy mezuzah case is a joke. So if I would wait 24 hours, it's a joke. That's not really. It is a sign of his greatness, of his how much he's machmir because he's such a big tzaddik. So I could do that, but that's like putting a fancy mezuzah case on a poor man's house. Right, he's has a fancy mezuzah case. He's a rich man. So just going about what he does, that's not the end. You have to really be that way. That's the guy. Okay, interesting. Hari, the see on the Erev Pesach, the Korban Miras Korban Pesach. So it's the following Hari. It says V'shachatu also called Kavos Yisrael Ben Arbaim. So the Korban Pesach is the only Korban that is normally after the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. There's no more Korban. So I'm out to mark. The only exception is Korban Pesach. It's done after the Korban Shel Ben Arbaim. So it's shechted at 7.5 hours, and it's offered at 8.5 hours. He says the following. He says, fine, so let's say 8.5 hours. Till the end of the day, you got another 3.5 hours. Okay? So it means that all the hakrava of the Korbanot Pesach have to be done in those 3 or so hours, right? Till the end of the day. So he says, how many Korbanos were there in those 3 hours? So the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Dalam Ebei, says that in the time of Yanai Melech, there were 1,200,000. Right? 1,200,000 korbanas, korban pesach, that they had to makrib in those 3+ hours. So he says, you make a quick cheshbon, right? It comes out, then how much, if that's in 3 hours, how much in 1 hour, how much is a minute, and this comes out, then it says over 1,000 korbanas in 1 second. Because each second had to be 1,000 korban. Now, what is that? What is the korban? What does that mean? You have to shechli. Then you have to take the dam. You have to sprinkle on the mizbeach. Then you got to take the animal, open it up, take out the emurim. You have to salt them, bring them on mizbeach, right? And all this, and 1,000 were done in a second, right? So it says we see similar pella like this with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says on his last day that what did he do when he was on Moshe Rabbeinu's last day on this world? What did he do? First of all, it says that he went to every mishpacha from Israel. So v'yelech Moshe el kol Yisrael, and he went to every single mishpacha to par with them. He gathered them. He read to them the part of the Shiras Hazinu. He taught them the depth of the Shira. It says v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael psima b'fiyem. He taught them the depth of the Hazinu. Then he wrote 13 Sifrei Torah. Okay, and one was put in the Aron, and the other 12 was given, one for each Shevet. And then he read for them the Parshas Zosa Bracha. All that in one day. So he says, how could you do that? So we see from here that a Ruchnius person could do so. Why? Because Ruchnius is not time bound. It comes to Ruchnius. So Mele, Moshe Rabbeinu, all this is Ruchni. Ruchni, there's no limit when it comes to this. So too, the Korban Pesach, the Bar Ruchani, says there's no limit what a person can do. There's a sad mitzias, is that it's under the category of Hadlakas Neiris here. It's Hadlakas Neiris of Yom Tov, whatever. So he says that once he was going to speak at a group of students are just graduating classes, finished, and they're about to go to the army, non-religious, whatever. So he wanted to just get a feel like where they're holding in Yiddishkeit, So he pulled one of them over and he said, "Tell me something." He says, "When does your mother light candles? When does your mother light candles?" So the answer was, "Kasheish hafsakat chashmal." So he got the picture where they're holding. Okay. It's under the category of back to Kiddush now. It says, "Share." We say, "Share bracha banu mikolam, ramanu mikol hashon, mikiddushanu misosav." So he asked Rav Shach once. He says, "Why is it that we make the bracha shlo asani goy in the negative? Right? Why don't we say it in the positive? Shasani Yisrael." Right, in the bottom, it didn't make me a goy. Made me a Yisrael, the positive sign. So he said, Rav Shach answered him. He said, very simple. He says, "Shalos ani goy," we could say, because we're thanking Hashem that we're not a goy. You can say, but to say that he made us Yisrael, that you can't really say. Why? Because that's the whole voda of a yid. The whole voda of a yid is that he's to become a Yisrael. Every mitzvah that he does, another mitzvah, he becomes more of a yid. Okay, so therefore Hashem doesn't make us, he made us a Yisrael. We have to make ourselves into Yisrael by doing more and more mitzvahs. Every daf, etc., becomes more of a yid. As Gemara says in Sanhedrin Tzadik Tes, it says on the pasuk "Ushmartem eschu kosai basisem osam," Hashem says you should keep my commandments and do them. So the Gemara darkens out, "Al tikri osam," do them, but "ela atem kilu asisem et atzmechem." When you do the Torah, you're making yourself, as we said, become more of a yid. So therefore, we can't make the positive asani Yisrael. Hashem didn't make it. That's up to us to make ourselves into Yisrael. Therefore, that's what we say in the Kiddush, "Shir b'chabani mikolam, ramzani mikol lashon, v'kiddushtanu b'mitzvosav." Because that's our tafkid, to mekadesh ourselves more and more, v'kiddushtanu b'mitzvosav, mekadesh ourselves more by doing the Hashem's mitzvos. It says that v'ramzani mikol lashon, then asked an interesting question, he said, in Navardak. Says we have a rule that if the Gemara can bring a raya from a pasuk in Bereishis, it's not going to bring a raya from a pasuk in Shmos, right? Bring it with the earliest place you can find a raya in the Torah. You bring it. You don't bring a raya from a later. So he says that's the case. We have a couple of difficult chazal here. It says that in Pirkei Avos, "Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem," right? The man is dear to Hashem. He was created B'Tzelem Elokim. Shne'emar, what's the raya to that? Pasuk in Noach, "Ki b'tzelem Elokim asas Adam." And then the Mishnah says, "Chavivin Yisrael shenikru banim l'makom." We're dear because we're called Hashem's banim. We bring a pasuk in Re'eh, "Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem." Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. So he says, it's fair. Why? Rabbi Kiva, why did he bring a pasuk in Noah to say we were created B'Tzelem Elohim? It's in Bereshis, right? It's not fair. Nase Adam B'Tzelmenu, or Vayivre Elohim Es Adam B'Tzelmo B'Tzelem Elohim Bara Oto in Bereshis. So why do you have to bring a pasuk in next parsha in Noah? Similarly with the Banim. We're bringing a pasuk Banim Atem El Shem Elokeichem. We could have been a pasuk in Shmos, Bini Bukhari Israel, or Shlach as Bini Veyavdeni. We're called the Banim already in Shmos. Why is there putting a pasuk over there in Re? So he says, the answer is, She'ein Maila Bli Tfiyah. In other words, any time there's a mila, you have a mila, you have to realize a mila comes with responsibility. It's a tfiyah. You have to, you're given something, so now you have to show for it. So Mele said, that's the answer. That's fine. Yes, it says in Bereshis we were created by Tzelem Elokim. But there's more than that. But so what? So what? That means now we have a responsibility. And therefore, the pasuk we're bringing, the Chazal bring, is the pasuk in Noach, which shows our responsibility. Not that very nice you have at Salamoki, but now what? Because what does it say over there? It says over there, Shofech dama Adam, ba Adam damo yishafech, ki b'tzelem Elokim asat Adam. You're not allowed to kill somebody, etc., because a man was created, meaning your responsibility for your fellow man. Now you're made a tzelem Elokim, okay, now that gives you achrayut. So now you have to be careful. So we bring the pasuk that shows the achrayus. So too, with the very nice, we're B'nei Bukhari, we're in Shmos, tells us how we're Hashem's kids, but being Hashem's kids brings responsibility. And therefore we bring the pasuk which shows the responsibility. That's in Re'eh, where it says, Lo tiskodnu, lo tochol kol teiva, etc. You shouldn't eat things you're supposed to, etc. Because we have responsibility now since we're Hashem's kids. So therefore the psukim that we bring shows our responsibility. That's why those are brought. And it's told of Yisrael Salanter that once he was in a very difficult Rambam, and he was working on, and he mamish his mechadish, an unbelievable chiddush, and yashav at the shverkayin in the Rambam, whatever. And they noticed that afterwards, you think he would be really happy that he wasn't happy. So they asked him, "What? How come you're not happy? You just yashav this difficult Rambam with such beauty." So he says, that's exactly the point, you know. I was thinking, I said, wow, like, how did I do this? You know, obviously, Hashem gave me a good mind and whatever to be able to do such a thing. So with that, like we said, ein mila bli tfiyah, that means I have a big responsibility, right? The mele, I'm dumb, you know, Hashem created me dumb. Like, okay, but if I can miyashav a rambam like this, that means that, it says they don't give out gifts for nothing. And Hashem gave me the gift to be able to do such a thing, so now I have to live up to the thing, and so who knows if I'm doing so. Say, a mo'adim l'simcha. So I was asked once, how does one come to simcha shel mitzvah? So he says, the answer is as follows. He says, we noticed that in Chag HaSukkos, Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us to be b'simcha, and also in Shavuos. However, Pesach Hashem didn't command. With that, we directly learn it from Gezeirah Shava from Sukkos. So, why is that the case? Why isn't there a direct command on Pesach? Why do we have to only learn it out? So he says that because we have to understand what brings to simcha. What brings the person to simcha? See, Gemara in Baba Metzia, Bezrat Hashem. You're going to be learning next month. Hamafgid. And this is not the beginning, it's a couple of daf in, but it says over there, Hamafgid peres etzel chavero. Person gives his friend his fruit to watch. And it's a filu heim nir kavim lo yigabahem. So the Mishnah says that even if they start rotting, you're not allowed to take them and sell them and give him his money. You know, he said, oh, it's Paris are rotting, he's going to come back and he'll have his fruit to rot, and maybe I better sell them before they go bad, and then they'll give him money. So you're not supposed to do that, right? Whatever it is, rotten, you give him whatever's left. Okay, so why? Asks the Gemara. Gemara says, because Rotze Adam, Bekav Shalom, Etisha Kavin Shel Chavero. So the person would rather have his own thing than one of his own thing than nine of something else. And Rashi says, why? Chaviva alav al yedei she'amal behen. Something that you work for becomes very dear to you. So even if he's going to have less pears, but these were his pears that he worked on, he planted, he harvested, he put the effort in, that's worth much more than if you hear money and then you're going to buy somebody else's fruit. Right? It's much more dear to him because he worked on it. So we see from here that putting in effort, that makes that thing dear to a person. So Mela, we see it's from Tzar Agra, etc. And he says if there's any chag that a person puts in effort, it's chag of Pesach. All the preparation, the cleaning, the prepare the Seder, all the halachas learning, there's so much. He says he put in so much effort, so Mela, with that comes the chavivas, comes the simcha. So Mela, that's why the Torah didn't have to give a direct command to be sameach, and it tells him Mela, you do what you prepare for Pesach, you'll be even sameach with Pesach because all the effort, the amal you put into it. Says Maisa was once at the or sameach that there was once a shaila that came up on before Pesach, and somebody asked one of the morei hara, they were, you know, the rabbanim there in Dvinsk. Psak. So the person said, asked, it's kosher. Now, so the person to the Rav said, it's asa. Right. So he said, oh yeah, that's interesting, because I was just by the Orsameach, and he said it was okay. But I was a little bit, you know, was wondering about it, so I just wanted to double check. And now, but Lamaisa, you are saying it's asa. So he said, yeah, of course it's asa. He goes, well, the Orsameach said it's mutter. So he goes, oh yeah, let me go check this out. So he goes to the Orsameach, and they start being done the shaila. He says, he brings rayas, he brought his rayas, back and forth. And they couldn't come to a conclusion. So what did they decide to do? They had an idea. The Sma, say from Yerushalayim, and Choshen Mishpat, and Simen Beis, has a famous saying, that Das Balabatim Hefech Das Torah. He says that Balabas is the opposite of what the Das Torah is. So he says, so great idea. Let's go take a yid from the shuk, ask him the shaila, and we'll know whatever he says, the opposite is the emes, because Das Balabas happened to be Das Torah. So take a Balabas, whatever he says, we know the opposite. That'll be the deciding factor. So he said, okay. So he went down and they asked some yid, and he quote unquote paskin like the Orsameach, that the thing is mutter. So the Rav's like, ah, you see, I told that means the hefek, because that's really aser. So he's like, ah, you see. So the Orsameach said, no, don't get so excited. He says, why not? He says, no. When the Sma said that the Das of Balabai is Hefech and Das Torah, he goes, that's like during the rest of the year. But when the era Pesach, he says, Hat era for drink the cup. He says, a person before Pesach, his mind is all things. So Mele, his mind's all off. So he happens to say the Emes on era Pesach. So he, this time he happened to say the Emes, which is like me. So he said, see that if there's a lot of tiredness on era Pesach. This brings to Mabdil ben Kodesh Lachol. Havdalah, it brings an interesting vort. It says that Rivka, Imenu, she was suffering. She had these sons that were Ratzatu Habanim Bikirba, right? They're back and forth. So Chazal tell us that when she was walking by the Petach of the Beis Medrash, Yaakov wanted to go out, when Badevot Zara, Esau wanted to go out, etc. She said, Nimkei Lamazen Nochi, such pain. So she went to the Midrash, Beis Midrash of Shame, to find out what, you know, get a bracha, whatever, that you should stop these Isurin. It's too painful, I can't take it. So what was the answer? What did they tell her? The bracha, Shnei Goyim Bivitnech. You know, and where's your suffering? Because there's two people inside of you. One going to this, one going to that, and that's what's wrong. So he says, well, that's supposed to take away the pain. That's supposed to make her feel good. I mean, so was that, what kind of an eitzah is that? Telling her that. So she says, yeah, it really calmed her down. Why? Because she thought that what she had inside of her was one kid that was, He says, like, to meet Pasher. You know, don't be too from. You know, I'm okay, but also go to Midrash, but also go to Avodah Zarah. She said, that hurt her a lot. When I have a son that wants to meet Pasher, wants to take, you know, the meal. He goes, that. Until she found out, oh, no, you don't have it. You have a son that's outside, he's on a Russia. Oh, that's much better. No, I'd rather have one son that's Miss Pasher. Okay, so that's the end of that. Brings us back to the beginning. So we have a couple of minutes left. Go now to the back to the end, the shirim, etc. Until the end of this night, last few minutes. This is a nice word from say in the shirim Rayasi that we are like the wife's kviyachal b'chodesh baruch hu. So he brings that Rabbeinu Gershom has had the kinui of Me'or HaGola. Right? Rabbeinu Gershom was known as the light of Gola, of the exile. So he says, what's the idea? He says that, as we said, that Am Yisrael were likened to like the wife of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So once we went out to Galus, so Klal Yisrael could have felt that says, look, what is Hashem doing? He's kicking us out, you know, divorcing us against our will. You know, we'd rather, of course, be with him, but no, get away, and he's divorcing us against our will, and he's going to take another nation. So along came Rabbeinu Gershon, and he made two takanas. You can't divorce your wife against her will, nor you can't have more than one wife. You can't take another wife over the first one. So Meila, when after these takanas, made us feel good. We said, so to Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? He can't divorce us against our will. We're like his wife, and he can't take another nation. So it made us feel good in Galus. So Meila, that's why he was called the Me'or HaGola, because he brought light to our Galus. So that not to be too upset, Hashem is still with us. We say in the Shir Shirim, Dodi Shalach Yado, sent his hand. So it was a joke that there was once a miser that he his hand wasn't open to anything. You know, no, anyway, stock or whatever, nothing, wouldn't give anything to anybody. So once he fell into the river, or whatever, and he was drowning. So somebody put out his arm. He says, "Here, give me your arm." So he says, "No, I don't give anything to anybody." So he says, "Oh, this guy's drowning." He goes, "Oh, okay, wait a second, I have an idea." He says, "Here, take my arm." He goes, "I'll take, no problem, I'll take your arm." Okay, fine. So he says, that's a dodi shalach yado. Okay. Another cute joke. I don't know, something to do really with this, but this is a cute joke. So he was once in a car with this guy. Yeah, they brought a fancy 2011 car or whatever, and he's all the extras. You know, he's all proud of his fancy car, and he's driving, and some other car comes along and passes him. So, Rav Yaakov's in the car with the guy, and he says, "A chutzpah, 2005, we're passing in 2011, what a chutzpah, whatever." So, Rav Yaakov says to the guy, he says, is this what you mean when you say, "Ein lanu melech ela oto"? Everything's your car, man. Melech ela oto. Okay. Let's see. It says in the Kriyat Shema Lamita, it's the Girsa of Nusach Sfarta, where it says Tein Chelki Be'etzarasecha. He says something cute. It says he once went to a Gvir's house, you know, to get some money, whatever. And he had a meeting, supposed to meet him at night. So he goes to the house, and he sees that the guy conked out on his couch opposite his television. So he says, "I told the Gvir, I said, excuse me, but the pasuk that said, 'Lo lachachamim lachem,' meaning that the rich people are stupid." He says, "I don't understand." He says, "You work all day, okay? You got to make a parnasa, fine. You work all day, and you come home and you're tired. understandable. You work all day, come on. So, but you fall asleep again in front of your television set. He said, you're stupid. He says, why? He says, instead you should take a Gemara, open up a Gemara, and fall asleep at least at your Gemara. Why? He says, because Chazal tell us that a person wants to do a mitzvah, and his nanas, and he can't, it's ki'ilu asa. So if you pick up a Gemara, like you really want to learn, but you can't help it, you just conk out, so it's a scar, as if you're learning. you conk out in front of a television set. He says, what kind of teachers is that? Okay. One last one. Okay. Finish off one last one. It says, in the Kriya Shema, Shinanto Levanecha V'dibrat Tabam. He says that in Poland, he says there was these goyim that would work as like work in people's houses, cleaning, whatever, and they get a little bit of money. So this one goy, after a hard day's work, whatever, he's walking home, and he sees another one of his acquaintances, goy, he's coming out of the shul, and he's all smile on his face, and he says, well, what are you so happy about? So he looks, he sees his money in his hand. He says, what's this, where'd you get this, what is this money? So he says, because I went around and I collected. Meaning that he disguised himself as a yid. And he went around collecting. So he says, how much did you collect? So I told him, he says, oh my God, it takes me 2 weeks of hard work to collect what you collected in a few minutes going around like that. So he said, yeah, So he says, that's it, why should I work like a dog? So next day, the first guy slept in, didn't go to work, and then around Minchamara time, he makes his way to shul, also, disguised as a yid, and he goes collect. So sure enough, he's doing okay, making some money. But then he looked over, he saw another guy, another guy collecting, and he's doing much better. So he said, what's going on? So he wasn't embarrassed. Afterwards, he walked over. The guy says, how come you're collecting more than me, So he says, because I go around, I tell everybody that I'm a Ger Tzedek. I'm a Ger Tzedek. So they have Rachmanis on me, because I'm a Ger Tzedek. And they give me more money. So he says, oh, yeah, okay, fine. So next day, he picks up the trick. So he goes along and he goes collecting for them. And he says, oh, Ger Tzedek, I'm a Ger Tzedek. And sure enough, people gave him more money. He's like, oh, very happy. But then he sees another guy collecting, and he's even doing better than him, and that even. So he went up to him, and he says, well, how are you getting so much money? He says, well, very simple. He says, I tell everybody that I'm the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. So he says, oh, wow, yeah, okay, fine. So the next day, he picks up the idea. He goes to the shul the next day, and he tells everybody, how Rahman is on a Ger Tzedek? The grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. So everybody laughed. Kids said, they can't be the grandson of the Baal Shem. So everybody starts laughing and see the stira. So he says, so too, when it comes to Shinantala, when it comes to teaching one's children, he says you have to make sure that there's no stira. In other words, you're telling them something, so you have to act the way you're telling them. So this brings the Chasam Sofer says and says that we say in the pasuk v'shinamtam levanecha v'dibar tabam. So he learns that v'shinamtam levanecha, when you want to teach your kids, that's very nice. But v'dibar tabam, you yourself have to speak in them. You have to speak in Torah itself. You can't just tell your kids to learn, you not learn. So if you want v'shinamtam levanecha, you have to v'dibar tabam. Otherwise, it's a stira, and your kids will pick up on that. You will not be successful. So Hashem, we should all be successful in our Leila Seder this year. We have plenty of Dibrei Torah now. And we should see next year in Yerushalayim, Shana Abba, B'nei Chorin, and the coming of the Bias Kol Tzedek, B'mehira B'yameinu.